Let me stop and say, if you're watching online, it's an honor to have you here. If you're visiting with us in the room or online for the first time, it is a privilege to have you come worship with us. If you need anything, find somebody with a little name tag that says, "I'm here to help," and they will get you what you need to the best of their abilities and will help and serve. I want to encourage you, Melanie, I know kind of went on about it, about our new church app. I saw a lot of you trying it. This is a new thing we've been working on for a little while. If you have issues, please see the people out in the foyer. You can find me or Melanie. There's probably going to be some unforeseen things that we didn't catch, but we've tried to test it and get it rolling. It's going to do a lot of stuff for us to be able to communicate with you. It's going to actually provide some more transparency. One of the things that it does, if you've done it already, you can actually go on the giving section, click your little icon that's your account in the corner, and go down and actually see your giving real time. That's both cash and check if you do it in the buckets. So even if you don't give online, I encourage you to go get the app, because you can actually see to date what your giving is. It lets you see that, hey, it went where it was supposed to go and it was accounted for. I'm a big believer and transparency in our finances. What we do with God's money is a big deal to me, because ultimately I believe this, that one day I'm going to have to stand before God and answer for every dime that's come through here while I've been in charge. And that's very, very humbling and very close to my heart. So download that app. We're going to have a lot more stuff we'll be able to add to it in the coming weeks. And again, if you need help, I called them our geek squad, but I was told that wasn't nice. We're going to have our own geek squad. If you know what that is, Best Buy used to have that, and apparently it's not nice anymore. But anyway, they're out there, and they'll help you, and they should all have on blue shirts that says here to help. We're going to finish up our series this week, Change Your World. And if you've missed the previous weeks, I encourage you to go online, and you can watch the services there. You can also listen to them on whatever podcast venue you use. But week one, we talked about your circle, that God puts you in the circle of people. And within that, there's no such thing. The Bible doesn't say anything about anything called private faith. It's not a real thing, according to the Bible, that God's put people in your circle so that your faith can be public and then affect and even infect and spread through their lives. Week two, we talked about what I call divine intersections. These are these opportunities that I believe God, it may be with a random person, it may be somebody you've known for years, but it's just one of those moments where your paths cross and God does something divine. He has you pray for them. He has them, you share your story maybe. Maybe he just has you invite them to church to come experience God in a way that you have. Those are divine intersections. And last week we talked about perfection. That there's this idea, especially among some of you guys, because you've told me about it, that I have to be perfect. I have to have my life in order, my family in order, my marriage in order, my finances in order, and then, my kids, they all got to behave and act perfect. And then I can serve God. Then I can go do what he's asked me to do. That's just a lie. The Bible doesn't say anything about you being perfect. So go back and listen to those in the last 3 weeks. This week, we're going to talk about how we change our world. And I believe it's changed one by one. The Bible tells us that, I actually believe this. This is why we support organizations that start local churches. I believe the hope of the world comes through us as a local church. Us as First Baptist and First Methodist and First Christian and all the other churches in town. The Bible says the church body, big church, that's how he planned to reach people. You see, I think you can do this. But the problem is the world has tainted this word. Are you ready for it? There's this word called evangelism. And when you hear it, if you've been around the church for very long, most of you are probably thinking, oh great, now he's going to ask me to go stand on the street corner and like scream at people, go stand on Main Street at the fountain and like scream at cars and hold signs that says you're all going to hell, right? Go show some love to your community with signs like that. Like, you're all sinners, you're all going to hell, you know, repent or burn, turn or burn, and that's evangelism. Or worse, and if you do this, y'all want insight into my messed up little head? You probably don't, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Don't do this. If you have any of these, burn them and throw them away. Don't ever leave one of those little fake $20 bills on the table for your waitress. And you open it up, and it's not a $20 bill. It's a tract that says, I've got something more valuable than money. Don't do that. I had it done to me one time in college. I was waiting tables, and yeah, I was a Christian, and I wasn't happy. Because you can't eat that fake $20 bill, and it don't pay bills. Don't do that to people. That to me, now listen, people's hearts, and if you've done it, I'm sure your heart was right. Your intention was, I need to tell this person about Jesus, and this gives me a way to do it. But what we end up doing in evangelism, we end up becoming either people who are silent or people who stand on the corner and scream, you're all going to hell. The judgmental, condemning, and that is just not what evangelism is. Christians have kind of tarnished what it is. It's not screaming at people. It's not condemning people. And again, I don't question, we had this guy, and every college campus has him, where I did my undergrad at East Tennessee State, we had a guy in the quad thing, they call it, and it was an older gentleman who wore these god-awful brown suits that looked like all polyester suits, and his tie was only about that long, and he had a big beard, and he would stand and scream, and he was screaming at everybody, you're all going to hell. And if you had Greek letters on, you just were like the devil's best friend. You guys in the fraternities and sororities, you're all going to hell. And I know what you did last night. And he freaked people out. And then the people that get angry, they would scream back at him. He would just scream more. And just crazy stuff like that. And so Christians, we've kind of gone away from evangelism. Well, here's the truth. Unless we do what true evangelism is, we're not going to change our world. There are people out there who are going to die and go to hell, and not because somebody, one of us, didn't tell them, didn't plant a seed in there. There's a story about a guy who, I've heard the story told several times, but he had a dream that he died and went to heaven, and as he was standing, being received in heaven, he looks back, and there's a guy, someone, why didn't you tell me? And he's sitting in hell, going, you knew this, why didn't you tell me? And we make it big and scary and dramatic. Don't get me wrong. It is a big deal. It's eternity. Because we're all on a journey, whether you like it or not. You can be atheist, agnostic. You can be whatever you want. But there's only two directions. There's only two journeys, two endpoints. And that's why the Bible says that we're to be the ones to change our world. You see, I think the world, unfortunately, we've tarnished it. And we don't see it properly. So I didn't come up with this definition, and I actually can't remember where I found it, or I'd credit whoever did, but I love this definition. See, evangelism is simply getting someone to see God is already at work in their lives. See, people who, maybe you don't know God, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, and you've never met Jesus, God's working in your life even before you receive him. God's putting you in the right place to meet that person who's going to open the door for you. To meet that person who's going to invite you to church, to do things in your life. That's evangelism. It's me getting you to see, hey, God's already doing something before you ever even realize you need it. The Bible says of Jesus that God provided us a Savior before we even realized we would need one. In other words, God, here's what I think, in the spiritual and the big picture, here's what God did. Well, these people are going to be in trouble, and without me, they can't come spend eternity with me, so I'm going to go ahead and dial 911. Or 9-1 and wait on the one. Like, he's already got things rolling. He's already got help done and on the way. That's evangelism. It's not having all the right answers. Some of you guys last week we talked about it. It's not you being able to go, well, here's all these verses for all the questions that you have. For you to remember the verses. For you to quote them to them. That's not what it says. But look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, don't get freaked out. That basically means when you receive Jesus, the Bible says, his Holy Spirit resides within us. And the Bible says it gives you a power, and it says now you and me are responsible for being witnesses. And it actually goes on to say here, everywhere, in Judea, Samaria, and throughout. That was basically the way we teach is that's your That's your city, county, state, nation, world. So it doesn't leave anywhere out that we're supposed to be a witness. Now let me ask you, what is a witness? If you witness a crime, or you witness an accident, what happens? Sometimes you get a little thing in the mail, or the deputy knocks on your door and says, here, show up at this time and date to be in court, right? You're now a what? A witness. And if I'm called to be a witness, I go in, I sit down, they sit you on the stand, do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God? Yes. Okay, now what happened? All I can do is share the truth that I know. Now, let me ask you this question. When something happens, there's a car crash or something happens fast in a hurry, and we have three witnesses, and you ask those three witnesses, what color was the car? How often do they say the same color? Rarely. You would be shocked. Happened right in front of us. I could tell y'all now, I've got something in my back pocket. It's a certain color. What color is it? See? One of you guessed black because one of you knows me well, and you know my phone is in my back pocket, and it's black. And I'm not turning around so you can see. But see, things happen, and we all perceive things differently. It doesn't make it not true. Because to me, when you can share Jesus, you're sharing Jesus through your eyes and what he's done in your life and how you've seen it and how you may have had this giant, major salvation day where you were just, God just changed your life just like that. Some of us, like me, sometimes I downplay my story. And my story, I got saved when I was little, and it wasn't the big dramatic, you know, midlife change. Both of those stories are true, and both of those stories have power. You see, it's about us taking the impact, the truth that God has put in our lives, or not truth, he's put his truth in us, but the effect he's had on our lives, and begin to share it with people. Begin to get over this thing called private faith, because God has impacted your life. And I am convinced that we can change not only our world, but first and foremost, we can change Sylvania and Scriven County, one person at a time. One person. Now, does that say to you, okay, well, if I get my one person saved, am I good? No. But see, I don't want you to get lost on this idea that there's multiple people out there. Because just do the math. Any math majors in the room, y'all can help me out. If everybody in the room, let's just say for sake, there's 200 people in the room. If everybody in the room brings one person next week, invites one person, how many people do we have? For all you math majors, that's 400. We just double, right? That's one person. Now, if we begin to do that in our community, they may never come to church here. And listen, this is not a church growth exercise. You may get somebody and witness to them, and they receive Jesus, and God lays on their heart, they're going to go visit Pastor Jay at First Christian. You know what? Go. My heart is not they have to come here. My heart is that they're planted in the kingdom and being fed somewhere. They're a member of a church family somewhere. Now, would we love to have them here? Certainly. Evangelism is not screaming at people. Evangelism is not arguing. A lot of times I think we want to defend God. God doesn't need you to defend him. He needs you to honor him and be obedient to him. God can defend himself. Now, there are times when we stand up for our faith. Yes, that's not what I'm talking about. But the world can be changed one person at a time. I'll do whatever I can to show people my side of God's story. You know, Jesus was asked in the Bible by a lawyer, a Pharisee. He was a religious expert. And he wanted to be able to justify his actions. And he asked Jesus a question. He says, Jesus, what do I need to do for my eternal life so that I can have eternal life? And Jesus flips the script on him. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus asked him, no, you tell me, which of these is the greatest? Which of my law is the greatest? And he said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus tells him, hey, you're right. That's exactly it. But the man went on wanting more explanation. He wanted to be able to justify his actions and say, well, this is, he wanted to stick to his legal mindset. So Jesus begins to tell a story, and I want you to notice the word neighbor. Jesus tells a story about the Good Samaritan. If you've not heard the story before, there's a guy who was traveling between cities. In between cities, he gets robbed and beat up and left for dead. Well, then a legal mind comes by. A priest comes by. And the priest moves over to the other side of the road because I can't touch that man because he's unclean. And then a religious lawyer comes by. It's called a Levite. They're temple workers. Walks up to the guy and assesses the situation and then leaves him. I'll send somebody back for him. Then the Bible says and it's how we got the term, Good Samaritan. There was a Samaritan that came, took the man, cleaned his wounds, dressed his wounds, put him in a hotel and paid the bill and said, I'll be back later to pay you whatever I need you. Take care of this man. And Jesus tells the story, and then Jesus in Luke 10:36 asks this question. Now, which of these three would you say was a, and I highlighted the word, and I want you to say it with me, say was a neighbor. See, we hear neighbor, and us, most of us, if you're transplanted here, in the South, we consider anybody who lives within a 100-mile radius my neighbor, right? Scriven County is like 800 square miles, and from Hiltonia, Newington, you can live in Newington and go, oh yeah, that's my neighbor, she lives in Hiltonia. And we just, that's just the way we operate. If you exist within my realm, you're my neighbor. But I want you to think differently this morning, because I think you have to make a choice to be a neighbor. Because I can live right beside you and never talk to you, never interact with you, come and go. I work late, so I'll come and go in the middle of the night, never see you. And I live next to you. But I don't think that's what this word neighbor means. I don't think that's what Jesus was going for. Which one of these is a neighbor? You see, to me, you have to make a choice to be a neighbor. You have to decide to get involved in people's lives. You have to decide to go in October the 16th or whatever it is and go serve food to community, to people who don't have it. You have to decide to get up and show up at Believers Church this morning. You have to decide to go mow your neighbor's yard or go help or serve or work. You have to decide those things. You have to choose to be a neighbor. You see, otherwise, I think you're just a bystander. And I think a lot of us have become bystanders in our community. And unfortunately, social media has been good and bad. It makes it bad because we can go, oh, that's sad, so-and-so died. Oh, wow, look at that kitty, and he's playing the piano. Look at that cat and that dog. Oh, my kids are so cute. Oh, wow. So-and-so had a car wreck. Oh, look at that picture of my nephew. Isn't he so cute? Y'all just look at that. Right? We never become a neighbor. We never react, and we might send them a message, pray for you, and they'll pray emoji. And then you send like four or five because you're really serious you're praying, right? But what is the choice of maybe calling the person up that you know and you have a relationship with and goes, man, I just hurt. Why didn't you tell me? Can I do anything? Can I come over? Can I help? Can I serve? Right? That's choosing to be a neighbor, and that's not being a bystander. Going back to my legal definitions of the witness, that you'll have people that I've been to who knows how many car wrecks over the last 20 years working with fire and police, and you get there, and we have a term for them. And they're actually very dangerous. If it's you, don't do this. You've been on the side of the road working an accident scene and you hear somebody look out because there's a car and somebody's driving like this trying to, what do we call it? We have a term for it, you know, rubbernecking. Like, that's just somebody, they're standing by. They're not helping anyway. Or even people that gather up. Something goes down in your neighborhood. Like right now, if we just sent all the police cars, all the ambulances and the fire trucks, all to your, nothing could even be going on. But they just pull into your driveway and all get out. What's going to happen? All your neighbors are going to open the door like, what in the world? What did Mark and Carrie get into this morning? Man, those Seabrook people, they got the whole emergency services out there. What are they? They're bystanders. We don't need bystanders. We need people who choose to pick you up, to bandage your wounds, to help you in whatever the need is, to help move you. You see, you have to choose to be that neighbor. And I saw this poll. These numbers are a few years old, but this was done by Gallup. Gallup is not a Christian organization, so they're not looking to prove God right. It was a survey they did, and this is crazy. But look at this. 64 million plus Americans are not a part of a church. And this can mean they're of another religion or they just don't go to church at all. There's 64 million people. That's not what shocked me. This is what shocked me, and this is how I think we change the world one person at a time. 31 million people said there's one thing keeping them from coming to church. Why didn't they come? And that is simply an invitation. Let that sit for a while. Whatever the number is now, it could be more, it could be less, that there's 30 million people that close from eternity and spending eternity with Jesus, and all they're doing is waiting on one of us to be bold enough to go, why don't you come sit with me, grab a cup of coffee. They play music. It's kind of loud sometimes, but it's pretty good sometimes, and the guy speaks. He mumbles and rumbles around a lot, but he's not bad. They got a great nursery. They got a great kids program. Your kids will love it. Just come hang out with me. One invitation. And this is not a church growth message more than it is a make heaven crowded message. From college to you guys that are in high school and middle school, one person. One person to say, hey, come with me. Invite somebody. If you don't know people, I guarantee you there's somebody in your circle that is not in a church. Here, let me give you another statistic. This is one I keep memorized because it's shocking to me and I want to change it. Do you know that if every human in Screven County, and the last number was like 17,000, if everybody in Screven County decided to get up this morning and go to a church, any church, do you know how many seats we have at, let's just say everybody's service is at 10 o'clock. They're not, but let's just say that. At 10 o'clock, if everybody decided to get up and go, do you know how many people of those 16,184 could actually find a seat? Anybody want to guess? 4,000. That's 12,000 people plus who don't have a seat. Yet we look around and we take for granted that we want a seat next to us, right? Like if you're not family, like could you move over a seat? Like you're in my space, right? An invitation. One invitation. So I want to give you something. I'm going to give you actually four things real quick. I'm going to have to go quick. Four things you can start doing now to change your world, to work at it, to try, to be active. And that's how we're going to close out our series. Because 2 Timothy 4:5 says this, that you need to work at telling others the good news. It doesn't mean it's easy. God never said that it was going to be easy. Sometimes it is easy. Sometimes God gives you that intersection, that divine intersection, and it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like, okay, God, I see it. Sometimes it takes effort that we fully carry out what God's asked us to do. And here's the first one. And if you have kids, Melanie actually said, or I think Lauren actually said it, and she didn't know I was going to teach this morning, when Lauren said, hey, pay attention. Anybody do that to your kids? I don't know why we do this, like we're air traffic controllers. Like, I do that with my girls, like this. Look here, not over there. And actually, if you know Emma, I get aggravated with Emma because Emma has a hard time looking at you. She starts talking and she wants to look over there. So I'm constantly telling her, well, focus here. See, when you leave here today, I'm going to ask you just to simply pay attention. Pay attention to who's in the restaurant when you go eat. Pay attention to who's at the Pojo's in the morning and you stop and get you a coffee and a biscuit. Wherever it is you go, just pay attention. There are people you've seen every day and you will see every day that God said, I put them in your circle and I just need you to do your part. Look what the Bible says in Romans 10:14. It says, but how can they say call on him unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless what? We pay attention. I know I got to hurry, but I want to ask you this question because it proves my point. How many of you have ever driven from here to Statesboro and not noticed Captola, Doubleheads, the auction barn, the hotel, and suddenly you're in Cooperville? And you didn't notice that you turned left on the bypass in Statesboro because you were going to Walmart. See, we do this all the time. When we get familiar, we tune out, we check out, and we just drive. And then suddenly, like, wow, I'm at Walmart. And you drove past a wreck. You drove past somebody on the side of the road, a little old lady out there trying to change a tire, right? And we just drive past it because we don't pay attention. And the Bible says it just takes somebody to invite them. 30 million people just need to be invited. And then we let God do his thing. That's all he's asked us. Help people take that one step. That's what our whole thing is. It's what we do. Here's another one. This one would seem obvious, but it's apparently not. And that's pray. And I'm asking this morning, just pray for one. Pick one person. And here's what I'm going to do for you. And be honest. How many of you raise your hand and say, well, Clint, I really don't know what to pray. I want to pray for somebody, but I really don't know what to pray. How many of you would acknowledge that? Nobody? So y'all all prayers. Okay, who wants to pray? I'm going to invite somebody up. See, now everybody's raising their hand like, huh? That's all I want you to do is pray for people. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Remember, this is being active. The first one, pray the Father draws them to Jesus. That's it. God, I need you to show me if I can help how to get you, Jesus, in front of them. That's what the prayer is. The Bible says in John 6:44, for no one can come to me, the Father who sent me. This is Jesus talking. It says, unless God draws them. God, begin to draw them. Knock on their hearts. It's that thump probably some of you are feeling now. That's God going, okay, I'm here. The second thing, pray. Pray against what blinds their minds. You know, the devil can't stop you from coming to Jesus, but he can throw up roadblocks. He can put up screens in front of you so you can't see what's going on. He can try to distract you to get you, look at here. Look at this bright, shiny thing. There's nothing to see here. Just ignore that person, right? The Bible actually says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They don't understand the message about Christ. What do they not understand? They don't understand what I said earlier is evangelism. They don't understand that whether they know it or not, God's already working in their lives. They don't understand that God, before they were ever conceived, that God knew who they were and knew of their name and knew their life and knew where they would live and what they would go through. And the second thing, pray they have a real relationship with God. I don't need people to have a religious experience. I don't like religion. I am not a religious person. I have a relationship. Just like I have a relationship with my wife, and I have a relationship with friends, and with you guys, I'm in a relationship with Jesus. Am I always perfect? No. Am I most of the time perfect? Probably not that either. But grace and mercy, God forgives me, and we keep walking forward. The Bible says in Matthew 9:38, so pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers. Pray God sends believers into their lives. It may be more than you. The Bible says, there's part in the passage in the Bible where it says that one waters, or one plants the seed, one waters, and one harvests. You may be the planter, you may be the water, or you may be the guy at the end of the line that gets to actually tell somebody about Jesus or invite them here. The next one, pray they understand what Jesus did for them. You see, I don't think we really, to do this, you need to internalize this. Do you really understand that Jesus paid a debt and we get religious and think about Easter and the cross, and that's all true and it's all happened, but here's the nuts and bolts of it. We had a debt that if we didn't pay, then there was only one option for us, and that's at the end in eternity, it's to be completely separated from God. And the Bible just says hell's not a good place. And Jesus came and paid a debt. The Bible actually says on the cross, he looked through time and space, and in 2021 saw Clint standing here and goes, I'm going to have to forgive that poor boy this, you know, and I'm going to go ahead and decide now, thousands of years ahead of time, just to do it. So we don't understand what Christ really did for us. Ephesians 1:17 said, asking God to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. Just because you meet Jesus this morning, the Bible says, okay, there's more to do. There's more to learn. It's just like, isn't that, when you meet somebody for the first time, do you know everything about them? If you and I have never met and I shake your hand and say, hi, I'm Clint, and you say, hi, I'm Bill, all I know about you is what I can see and that you told me your name was Bill. I don't even know if that's really your name. The Bible says that there's more as we grow. Then I learn and we move forward with God. Pray that they understand what God's done in their lives, that it continues to move. The next one, show you care. You do this by getting your faith outside of this private box and telling people, listen, I see what you're going through. I've been there. Here's what God did for me. I was lost. I'm still not perfect, but you should have seen me a year ago. Now I'm this much more forward. I'm doing this much better. Because here's the truth. And this came from, I think this is, and Lauren can help me out on this. This is from a guy named Henry Nouwen. And people steal this, and this is actually, he's the counseling guru. And here's what he said. People don't care what you know until they know that you what? Care. You have to earn the right to get into people's lives. Don't just show up and expect them. God can move, and sometimes it happens. Don't we show up, okay, I told you about it, so you should listen to me. Well, I don't know you from Adam. Because you haven't ever shared this part of your life with me, and now suddenly you want me to jump? So share. Show you cared. Do stuff for people. Extend grace to people. Be generous with people. That's why I said don't give those silly $20 bill fake tracks. I watched a guy do it one time, and he got up and left, and I went over and took it and put cash on the table and took it. I was like, I can't do that to people. That doesn't show you care. Sometimes I think it's a lazy Christian. It makes us lazy. Show you care, and that could manifest itself in 1,000 different ways. See, religious people ask Jesus this question, why he would eat with tax collectors. Ushers, you guys can do your thing and y'all can come. These religious people, they went to Jesus and said, how dare you eat with that tax collector? How dare you eat with that sinner? You guys remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a... Yeah, see, y'all went to Sunday. Wee little man was he? See, the Bible says that he saw Zacchaeus. He said, come down and let's go have lunch. And people just went nuts. Like, you can't do that. You can't hang out. Did you know that guy is a convicted murderer? Do you know that guy sells drugs? Or do you know they're just terrible people? And Jesus would go in and sit right down beside them. Why do you do that? And Jesus answers them. And this is Mark chapter 2, verse 17. It said, Jesus, overhearing these people talking about it, shot back. Who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting the sin sick. See, we've got the sickness that we can't fix. And no medicine is going to fix it. Not a political statement, but still true. No vaccine is going to fix it. No vaccine is going to make heart right. No vaccine can give you grace and mercy. As smart as people are, no lab created you. You were created by a Father who loves you, a God who adores you, and you're not a number. You're not lost cause. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, Jesus is saying, listen, I share for their, or Paul's writing this, I share their weakness for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. And you can't say I have nothing in common, because the thing you and I share in common, even if we're completely different people, is we were both sinners, we were both lost, and we had a debt we couldn't pay. Every human on earth shares that one thing. And we share the fact there is but one Redeemer. One Jesus. one way to make life right, to stop feeling hurt and lost. Paul continues in verse 23 and says, I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. And then the last thing, why don't you guys go ahead and stand with me if you would? And that's this. Everyone in the room, everyone watching online, you have a story to share. How did you get here today? When did you meet Jesus? What has Jesus done for you? All of that you can tell without having to quote a scripture, or remember a chapter and verse, pronounce the name of some Middle Eastern city correctly. You just say, listen, I don't know about all that stuff, but I know life for me was rough and I was hurting and lost and lonely. And this guy invited me to church and Jesus just did something in my life. It's that easy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer. We used this verse a couple weeks ago. Who asks you the reason for you that you have hope. And here's where evangelism continues and what the world says is evangelism hangs aright. Because it says, but you got to do it with gentleness and respect. You're not trying to push people down and get them ready to receive Jesus. You're trying to grab them by their collars and by their and help stand them up on your level and go, look, if I can be here, you can be here. And that's what we're going to believe for. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes? God, I thank you in Jesus' name. For those who've never met Jesus this morning, God, I thank that you show yourself real to them. If that's you this morning, you simply respond this way. God, I'm sorry. I repent. I don't know what all the future may hold, but I'm going there with you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that easy. It's that easy. If that's you, you just pray that this morning right where you are. If you're watching online, I'm not going to call you for it and embarrass you. You can send us a message online or you fill out a connect card in the room and just let us know. We'll send you what your next steps are. For the rest of us, we're going to leave here today and begin to tell our story. Tell people what God's done for us. And if you find yourself today in a place where, God, I need somebody to pray with me, we've got you covered. Over to my right, your left, we've got people over here who are willing just to grab hold. You don't have to tell me anything. Just say, pray with me. And they'll pray with you. But today, we're going to show Jesus we love him, and we're going to talk about what he's done for us. Amen? Amen. I'm serious now. One person. That's all I'm asking right now. You get that one person, we'll take next steps after that. One person. And we'll single-handedly, with the power of God, our brothers, sisters in Christ, and throughout the county, we'll change Scriven County forever. Amen.